That's a hard act to follow, though, you know. Oh, bless your heart, Dan. Wow. I would like to get to the end of my life and say that I taught for 39 years straight, too. It's a privilege to be a teacher. It really is, because you see people's eyes get opened, and just the joy of that is something you can't even really begin to explain. So thank you for being so faithful. Well, today, you ready? Okay, we're going to talk about behold the glory of the Lord. So you have to open to 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. And if you have one of these little marker things that go in your Bible or some piece of paper or something, put it there so that we can keep coming back to this verse. All right, verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, what we're going to do today is just look a little bit in detail at this one verse, and hopefully we'll get to understand it a little bit more than we did before we started. Now, first phrase here I want to look at is with open face. Now, sometimes it's easier to look at what it is not, and you get an idea of what the concept is just by looking at what it is not. So open face is not just a brief look or a glance. Like if I just go, oh, that's not an open face. Like an open face just means an unveiled face. It's open, it's free, it's looking directly, right? If I look at Alta, I'm going to look at her, you know, not just go, oh yeah, that's her. So it's not a brief look or just a glance. You have to concentrate. That's the first thing. It's also not a vacant stare where you just kind of looking around. Oh, yeah. Yeah, God. Uh-huh. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's, yeah, right. Mm-hmm. You see what I mean? A vacant stare is not what having your face open to the Lord means. We have to focus on, when we talk about beholding the glory of the Lord, it's talking about focusing and not just having your mind be blank. Also, it's not having a critical or judgmental attitude or having a covering over your face. See, when it says open face, it means that you're not looking down, you're not looking at everything else around you as well. Because if you look at yourself, first of all, you get really discouraged because you see how far short you do fall from the glory of the Lord. But if you look at other people, then you get depressed or the world. You know, you look at the world and you're looking down at the things that are going on in the world. This is wrong. That's wrong. This is a mess. That's a mess. You know, you can just have a veil or a covering over your face because it's apparently critical or judgmental. So that's what it is not, all right? Now, what it is, being open face, is where your face is completely free. It's focused, it's concentrated, and you're looking up. You're not looking down or looking at the things that are wrong in the world or wrong with yourself or wrong with other people. You're looking at God directly, open. Okay, get the picture? All right. Now, this word beholding, okay, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Beholding is a really interesting word because it can be translated beholding, but it can also be translated reflecting. It's the Greek is in a middle voice, which means that something is being done, like you're doing it. There's action that the person is doing. So the simple idea is that you are the one that are beholding, right? You are beholding the glory of the Lord. But there's also the idea that we are reflecting the glory of the Lord. And when in the King James it says, beholding as in a glass. And that's as in a mirror. And that phrase is actually, that whole phrase is beholding. So the part about the mirror is not exactly in there. But it gives you the idea. So I brought a mirror. I brought a mirror and a flashlight to kind of give you the idea of what it is like about reflecting. Because I don't know about you, but for a long time I thought I was the one who was looking in the mirror, and then when I looked in the mirror, I should see Christ in me, right? If I looked in the mirror, I could see Christ in me. But I don't know about you, but when I look in the mirror, I see all my failures. It's very hard. If you look in the mirror, you go, oh no, there's wrinkles there, there's this, look at the double chin coming. I mean, it's hard to see Christ in yourself, okay? But now this is really how it works. It's where you actually are the mirror. You are the mirror. And when you look at the light and the light shines on the mirror, I don't know if it's going to do it. Okay, let's see. Well, you know, it won't go up there because I guess we have too much light. Okay, but anyway, you have the light, right? And you have the mirror and it reflects. And then usually you could see light, you know, up. See, actually, you could see some of it shining, right? You get the idea. Okay, we are the mirror. Oops, we are the mirror. And we can either reflect the glory of the Lord, or we can reflect all of our failures and stuff. If we are looking at God and we really see him, we focus on him, we concentrate on it, we are looking up, we have that focus, then we actually start reflecting the glory of the Lord. And then that's what other people see. So keep your finger here and look at Psalm 27. This is one of my very favorite psalms. Verse 1, Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. See, I told you he was the light, right? Whom shall I fear? He said that in the manifestations, right? And the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now look down at verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the what? Beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. The Lord, the Jehovah Lord that we worship and we adore, is so beautiful. That's what Andrew was talking about too. The beauty of the Lord, you can spend your lifetime looking at. So keep on reading there. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up on a rock. We talked about rocks a while ago. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. The result of beholding the glory of the Lord is that you really want to sing praises of joy. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Now this verse is really interesting because it says, when thou saidst, seek ye my face. When you see the word ye, the word ye is always plural. So God is saying to everyone, seek ye my face. Everyone. He makes the invitation open to everyone. And then it's up to me to be the one to say, yes, I will seek your face. Because it's individual. I have to seek God's face myself. Nobody can do it for us, right? We are the ones who have to say yes. God makes the invitation to everyone. Seek me. I'll teach you about me. I'll show you everything that's beautiful about me. I'll teach you from my word. I'll show you who I really am. But we as an individual have to say, yes, I will seek your face. I will go to the temple. I will inquire after the Lord. Now flip over to Psalm 34. Look at verse 4. I sought the Lord, seeking, right? We're seeking his face. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears, from all of them. Amazing, huh? They looked unto him, they were beholding him, and were lightened, is what King James says. But it means they were radiant. They became the reflection of what they were looking at. If they were looking at God, then you could not help but start shining because of his beauty and the glory of him. So now go back over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 3. This whole chapter is about how Moses went up to the mountain, and when he came back down, his face was shining so much that he had to put a veil on his face to hide it from the children of Israel, because they couldn't believe how glorious his face was shining, and they couldn't look on it. If you look at verse 7, it says, but if the administration of death, we're talking about the law, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was done away, the law was done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious, or more glorious? I mean, they couldn't look on Moses' face because it was so radiant. Yet we have the Spirit within us. Every single one of us can shine like this. So now we got to take just a little look at what this word glory is all about. Because read verse 18 again. Beholding, or reflecting as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. Glory is one of those words where you just go, glory, yeah, glory. What does glory mean? It's one of those really difficult words to define. But I want to give you today a very simple definition that you'll be able to hold on to. So whenever you read the word glory in the word, you can apply this definition, and it'll make so many verses make sense. The word glory in Aramaic comes from a verb that means to be heavy or to have weight. And the simple definition of glory is value or character. There is a weight to God. He has a glory because his value is based on his character and who he is. And that makes him heavy, you know. He's heavy because of his character, his value. So behold the glory of the Lord just simply means behold the character of the Lord. Behold his value, all that makes him who he is. So go over to Exodus chapter 33, because this is the record where Moses was up on the mount. And during one of the times that he was up on the mountain, it was actually the last time, he had asked God to show him his glory. And so we're going to read a little bit about it. Did you know that Moses actually went up to the mountain 7 times? I always thought he only went up once. And he brought back twice, because first time he got the tables that God wrote, and then he brought them back down, and the children of Israel were making the golden calf and dancing all around and everything. And then he got so mad he threw the tables down and broke them, so he had to go back up on the mountain to get them again, right? Okay, but he actually went up and down the mountain 7 times. And during those times is when God showed him the, not only the Ten Commandments, but he showed him everything about the tabernacle and how the tabernacle was to be built. He taught him all of the types and shadows that were in the tabernacle about Jesus Christ, that every single part of the tabernacle was going to point to who Christ would be, who the Messiah would be. That's what he got up on those on the mountain those various times. Plus, he also brought back down a lot of different laws about how they were to live and how they were to treat each other, and he began to write them down. So that's how we get, you know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, right? Was a lot of what God taught him up on the mountain. So that's really, really neat. Exodus 33, verse 18. This is right before he goes up the last time. And he says, this is Moses talking. He says, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, God said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. So God had explained to Moses what was going to go to happen to him, and that he would show him his glory. So go over to Exodus 34 and verse 5. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. That's what he told him he was going to do, right? He was going to proclaim to him what his name was. Now, God's name, that's a whole nother teaching about God's name, right? But verse 6, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, this is what he proclaimed, the Lord, that's Jehovah, the Lord God, that's Jehovah El, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. He held his hand in front of Moses' face, and his glory passed by him. And as he was passing by, he was proclaiming, the Lord is Jehovah El. El means mighty God. He is the mighty, mighty, mighty God. And he's also merciful. He's gracious. He's kind. He's loving. And as he was passing by, then he took his hand away, and all Moses could see was his back parts. But that's the time that Moses came down from the mountain, when his face was shining so brightly that they had to put a veil over it in order to even look on him. Amazing. Now, what's so cool is that we can literally look and behold the glory of the Lord face on. God talked to Moses face to face. They had endless conversations about things, and God revealed to him so many things about what was going to happen, what to do with people, all kinds of wonderful things. Yet that is the exact relationship that we have with God, and now today he also is our Father. We are his sons. We have a face-to-face relationship with God, where there's no more like you can only see the back parts. You can only go in the Holy of Holies once a year, and not you, because you're not sanctified. All those things. I mean, he told us that in the manifestations too, that he will reveal his face to us. Wow. Behold the beauty of the Lord. Behold the glory of the Lord. Now there's a guy, his name was Rufus Mosley. And he was a minister that preached in the middle, like from in the middle of the 20th century. And one of the favorite things that he would do when he was preaching was he would call one foot glory and the other foot hallelujah. And so when he was preaching and when he was talking, then he would be going, glory, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah. And he would, you know, make some exclamation points during his teaching. So I thought we'd have a little bit of fun today. We're going to look a little bit at the glory of the Lord and his character and his value. So I'm going to divide the room in half here, and you guys are going to be glory, and you guys are going to be hallelujah. So we got to practice a little bit. Okay. If I go like this, you go, glory.
Glory.
Okay. And then hallelujah.
Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah.
Okay. All right. All right. So, but I might switch it up on you and just go,
hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory.
Okay. You get the idea. All right, turn to Psalm 19. You have to be ready because you don't know when I'm going to be doing it. Psalm 19, verse 1. This is one way that we can know a little bit about God's character. Verse 1. The heavens declare the what? Okay, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, their words to the end of the world. If you ever want to get in touch with God and start to see his face, go out and see the beauty in nature that he created. Look up at the stars and just go. Remember, I talked about open face, right? Look up. Look up and see what God designed. It's amazing. And yet, you know, you think about how man has corrupted the beauty of the world, and yet it still shines so brightly. You can't go down to the beach without just having this peace come over you. You see the waves come in. You know, it just rests your soul. So God declared his glory in the heavens. It's perfect. So this is telling about his character, all right? It's perfect. It's beautiful. It's precise. It's detailed. The more you put a microscope on anything in God's creation, the more beauty you see. That's how God's character is. It's detailed. He doesn't have that vacant stare, you know, where it's just haphazard. It's very detailed and very precise. Okay, go back to Psalm 18, verse 2. Well, you might as well read verse 1 because it's, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength. In whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. My God is my strength. There is the word El again. See, he's the mighty God. He's the one who is El Shaddai, and you can start thinking about all his names because his names describe his character as well, right? Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord who healeth thee. He's the healer of broken hearts, right? Jehovah, you're supposed to pronounce it Yireh, J-I-R-E-H, and it means God is my provider. Or Jehovah Shammah is the Lord is there. He's always present. There are many, many names. That's why when he told Moses, I'm going to proclaim my name. He told him a lot of those names. But the one about El is, I think, my very favorite, because he is the mighty God. He is the one who has all strength. So when my strength fails, which it often does, that's who I can rely upon. It's his ability, his strength. And he created the heavens and the earth. So you think he has a little strength, you know? Power! Amazing. Here's just a brief list of some characteristics of God. I'll just read them to you, so just listen. He's perfect. He's holy. He's eternal. He's true. He's pure. He's good. He's just. He's faithful. Yeah. He's righteous. He's honorable. Okay, he's wonderful, he's sure, he's unchanging, he's wise, he's merciful. He is understanding, he's forgiving, he's gracious, he is kind. Those are just a few. But you could take any one of those words and you could spend hours looking up all the verses that talk about those qualities and just be refreshed in our soul, see? And you can't help but start shining when you start looking at some of these things. I wanted to read you just a little bit about something that Rufus Moseley wrote. And he wrote this in 1947 in a publication, a little booklet that he wrote called Manifest Victory. And this is what he says. He says, in the spring of 1926, I made another visit to St. Louis, reaching there the 1st of May. On the following Thursday, May 6, while in prayer at the Moseley home, I asked the Lord if he had anything he would like to say to me. I commenced laughing at myself for my stupidity in not asking this before. I realized how ridiculous it would be to have an hour with, let us say, the President of the United States, and monopolize the conversation. Then ask him, as you said goodbye, if he had anything to say. How much more stupid to monopolize the conversation in prayer, in communion with God. As soon as I was ready to listen, these words came through to me. I want you in me all the time, and I give you the keys. I had realized since Jesus manifested himself and came within me, and I had come out of the marvelous enveloping glory, that my great need was to take up my abode in Jesus and abide in him without ever going out anymore, just as he had taken up his abode in me to abide forever. We need to be in him perpetually, as we need him to be in us everlastingly. It is in the double union of him in us and us in him, and in the bearing of the fruit of that union, that we become like him and joint heirs with him in the services and in the inheritance of time and eternity. His full revelation in us and our full revelation in him is our full salvation, redemption, and glorification. Glory. I've got to remember not to put my hands up. Okay. 1 John. Look at 1 John. One of God's greatest characteristics, see, is that he is love. 1 John chapter 1. All of 1 John is really great, but 1 John chapter 4. What Rufus Moseley was talking about is in this verse. 1 John 4, verse 16. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. Oops, I'm reading chapter 5. Okay. Verse 16, chapter 4. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is what? Love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. You see that last phrase, how you have all this idea about dwelling or abiding. He that dwelleth in love, if you abide in love, you're going to abide in God, and God, and then there's something missing there. There's a word missing there, God in him, and the word that's missing is dwelleth or abide. And that's the figure of speech ellipsis, where the emphasis is on the word that is missing. So this whole thing, this whole verse here is about, yes, God is love. Now what? We are to abide in him, dwell in him, concentrate, focus, go spend some time, look in the word, see who he is, understand his glory. And then we will become like Moses was, where they looked unto him and they were radiant. He came down off of the mountain just shining. Now go back to 2 Corinthians 3. Verse 18. But we all with open face beholding or reflecting the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The word changed there is in the passive tense. We're transformed. We're metamorphosized. We're changed. We are changed. It's not like we have to do the changing. Oh, I'm just going to renew my mind enough and I'll be good. You know, no, it's not saying that we don't have to control our thoughts. That's not what I'm saying. But we are changed, we are transformed as we behold the glory of the Lord. And then we become that mirror where we reflect it back to other people. So when they see our faces, it's a reflection of who God is, because it's God in Christ in you, right? But you have to shine it out. And that's what it's talking about. See, we're changed into the same image. We're changed where I'm not looking at me anymore. I'm shining it out this way, but it's the Christ that's shining out, right? So we're changed into that image of Christ that's within us. It starts coming out. And when you see that phrase from glory to glory, it's the same one as like from faith to faith. It means from the beginning of glory to the end of glory. From the moment you get born again, you have this face-to-face relationship with God, Almighty, the mighty God, El Shaddai. And you can talk to him face to face. And so from the beginning of that glory all the way to the end of your life glory, you can be continuing to be transformed and to reflect all of the character and beauty of who God is. Awesome, huh? So what are we going to do? Shout!
Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah.
Yeah, what else can you do after you hear about that except shout and praise him? Because that's what hallelujah means, is praise Yah. Praise Jehovah. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to end here. The only thing we can do is shout hallelujah, praise him, and continue to speak his word and to show forth his character. The more that we do this, the more people will come up to us and just go, "Hey, why are you so happy? What's going on?" You know, tell me about what do you do? What are you doing? What are you doing? What is all this about? Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, because this record here, you can read the whole chapter, but it's all about when Peter was going with, when Jesus went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and his face was also shining too. And they got to see the glory of Jesus Christ at that time. But he says in verse 17, "For he received," talking about Jesus Christ, He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." I mean, Peter got to be there when the voice came from heaven and God was saying to Jesus Christ, "This is my beloved Son." Well, doesn't he say that to us too? You are the beloved sons of God. Verse 18, "And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount." But verse 19, "We," that's talking about us, okay? "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation." We have the word of God. And we have the ability, any time that we start feeling puny and are looking in that mirror at ourselves and looking at all our frailties and shortcomings and all of that, right? We can right then, right on that spot, speak in tongues and just know, you know, it's a more sure word of prophecy that truly you are God's son and nobody can take that away from you ever. And that's what it also means here. See, this verse 19, the phrase "in your hearts" is you're supposed to put it after "take heed." "Whereunto you do well that you take heed in your hearts, as unto a light that shines in a dark place." If the light's shining, you're going to look at the light, you're going to look at yourself. You're going to look at the light, you're going to look at yourself. But if you look at the light and you look at it 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 until the day dawn, like you just continue. That's what abide means. It means to continue, 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 continue. You just do it your whole life long until the end, until the day star arise. And then we get to be with him for all eternity. So, hey, what a glorious life we have. Look at it in your heart. See, look, you be the one where God says, "Seek ye my face," and you say, "Yes, I want to seek your face. I want to spend time with you. I want to understand your character. I want to have that glory in my life too." We are the mirror, okay? And our hearts are changed as we behold the glory of the Lord and we let that seep in and we develop that face-to-face relationship with him as our Father. God bless you.